This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is America on the Road, named best radio show by the International Automotive Media Conference, and now in its 30th year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. I'm Jack Nerad. With me is co-host Chris Teague. Chris, great to be with you again. Always wonderful to talk to you.
You as well. We're enjoying good driving weather and good weather all around here. How are things on your side of the world?
We have what they call May gray at the coast in California right now, so we get a lot of ocean fog, and maybe it'll burn off, maybe it won't. It's kind of not the nicest time of year around here. Spring coming to Maine has got to be terrific. I think it's amazing. It was wonderful when I lived in the Midwest. I love the spring, but not the greatest season here, but I can't complain. We always have about 70 degrees.
Yeah, I can complain a little more than that, but yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the things we're going to talk about on the show today. And one of the big ones, of course, is the increase in tariffs on Chinese-built electric vehicles that the Biden administration is kind of suddenly out of the blue put into effect, jumping from 27% to more than 100% tariff. Of course, there's not a whole lot of Chinese electric vehicles entering the United States yet, and maybe because of this, never. We shall see, but we can kick that around a little bit in the upcoming segment. There is more drama at Tesla, as their supercharger EV network has had a string of firings, including the head of that particular business unit. So we'll talk about that. Intrigue. Of course, you have heard of the various Car of the Year programs, including North American Car of the Year, that I am a juror on. And now there is a Road of the Year program. It's actually kind of a cool program from the folks at Hagerty. And so we'll tell you what road was named Road of the Year, and we'll give our reactions. It's actually a road that I have had a lot of experience with. So there's plenty to talk about on the show, right, Chris?
Yeah, we also have some vehicles to talk about, I believe. Is that right?
Absolutely. Let's conduct some commerce here. America on the Road is brought to you by DriveToday.com, EMLancey.com, the publisher of my latest book, Dance in the Dark, and, of course, Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury. So imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at drivingtoday.com/auto-insurance. That's drivingtoday.com/auto-insurance. Well, what vehicle will you be testing this time around, Chris?
I have the second week of Subaru here at the Teague household. I drove the 2024 Subaru Crosstrek Wilderness, a little bit beefier, I guess, crossover you could call it, but I can't wait to tell you all about it.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear about the Crosstrek and the Wilderness version of the Crosstrek. It's, of course, one of their most popular models. I was driving a model that I liked a whole bunch. It is the 2024 Mazda CX-30 Turbo Premium Plus. This is pitched as an SUV. I kind of almost look at it as a hot hatch, but we can talk about that a little bit. We have a very great special guest. His name is Trevor Lai. He is Genesis Product Planning Senior Group Manager. He and I got together at the Genesis GV80 launch recently. The 2025 has been heavily revised, so we'll talk with him about that vehicle. So we have a lot of show coming up. Stay with us, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with Chris Teague, Jack Nerad back with you. And we have some fascinating news to talk about. Holy smokes. A lot going on all of a sudden, including kind of out of the blue. We have this a very hot story. I mean, it has political ramifications too, but let's kind of stick to the car ramifications of it. Of the U.S. set to raise tariffs on China's EVs, potential imported EVs. I mean, significantly increased tariffs from, say, 27% to more than 100% tariff. Think of that, 100%. So you buy the car and then you have a tariff that is equal to the value of the car. That's what 100% tariff is. I mean, it's kind of wild stuff that I think largely came out of the blue. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, there have been a lot of rumblings from Congress and others about privacy around Chinese electric vehicles. There's a fear that, you know, they're going to transmit data back to China's government and invade us that way. But, you know, this is striking to me. You know, it's no secret that China's government subsidizes these companies and helps them sell their vehicles at a very low price. But, you know, they were going to have to raise that price probably to come here anyway to meet our safety standards and whatnot. So I think it's going to be a little bit of a challenge for them to gain a foothold here with that.
Yeah, I mean, this has created controversy with a lot of people and from all sides of the political aisle, and kind of no matter where you stand, a lot of people are up in arms about this. I mean, certainly the folks, I read a story, I think, on Electrify USA or something like that, Electrify America. I mean, obviously, these are people who are very strongly in favor of electric vehicles, and they're absolutely bowled over by this, shocked by this, and they don't think it's a very good idea. And you could kind of understand their point of view. I mean, the Chinese companies are selling EVs for maybe $10,000 in their home market, something like that. And we're looking at the cheapest EV here in the $30,000 range. So I think there's a lot of fear that the Chinese, should they come in with EVs, will suddenly gobble up a huge portion of the American market, and thus the idea of tariffs. But tariffs, of course, are not particularly palatable for your typical consumer who is buying things from various countries. I'm kind of a free trader, basically, just because I think that works best. It keeps industry strong and all of that. But there's a lot going on here to deal with. And from a lot of angles, this, you kind of shake your head about this one.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look, if you look at this from a pure business standpoint, this, you know, it may prevent Chinese companies from gaining a foothold here, but it's not going to make American EVs any more competitive on the global market. It's not going to motivate American companies or companies who build vehicles here to make cheaper, better from tech perspective, more range, those sorts of things with their EVs. And ultimately, as you mentioned, the buyer is the one who ends up kind of suffering here, because if you want a nice EV and you don't want to spend $50,000 on it, you're kind of out of luck right now.
Yeah, I wonder what this is going to do with vehicles like the Volvo EX30 that we talked about on last week's show. It was about to come to market here in the United States. It is Chinese built. One of the reasons why it has a pretty compelling low price, it's not $10,000, but it's more like $30,000, $35,000. Very nice vehicle. It was supposed to be in this market a year ago, and a lot of political flurries have kept it from coming here. I mean, you have companies like BYD that is kind of globally pushing electric vehicles at very low prices and having their own success and issues, too, with EV adoption around the globe. I mean, there's so many buttons to talk about here, so many buttons to push, right?
Yeah, I think Volvo aims to produce the newer EX90, which is going to be larger and more expensive, in South Carolina. And BYD recently announced a pickup truck for the Mexican market, and they're going to start building it there with 150,000 unit capacity per year. So, you know, they're going to get really close to our borders, if not already within it, you know, via other avenues. So it'll be interesting to see. And I don't know if they can get around it the way that, you know, Toyota did building trucks here in the United States. But it will be quite interesting to watch. But again, you know, I'm not sure that this is the best way to deal with the situation.
Yeah. You talk about Mexico, and they've been pressured by the United States not to offer incentives to Chinese companies to come in. And then we slam, 100% tariffs on Chinese vehicles that are built in China. So interesting stuff. I mean, again, political ramifications to this as well. But we can leave that for other talk shows. Let's talk about the Tesla supercharger drama. And it is a drama, I'll tell you. I mean, I was reading the Reuters story, and if you want depth on this, you should go into the Reuters story and look this up, because it's really interesting stuff and great reporting that they've done on this. But apparently the head of the Tesla supercharger network, was a woman who is a woman, was a woman. I guess she's still a woman, but she was is not the head of the supercharger network anymore. Her name is Rebecca Tannucci. And she met with Elon Musk about superchargers as they were having giant layoffs there at Tesla. And apparently the meeting didn't go all that well. And you and I, both having been in business, we know how meetings can go with the big boss sometimes. Apparently, Musk was looking for even more layoffs, and they had laid off between 15 and 20% of their workforce, which is a pretty big hit right there. He wanted more. She didn't want that to happen. And so he decided, I'm going to fire the whole lot of them, and fired her right there. And also not only just fired her, but fired the whole 500-member team. And then kind of had to walk that back, or has walked that back at least a little bit, partly because there's been a lot of recriminations, I guess, in the market about that, in the stock market, about they're suddenly going to go away from this thing that is so huge. I mean, comment about any and all of this that you'd like to, Chris, because it's a wild story.
Yeah, two things. I think, you know, I wasn't in the room, so I don't know how the meeting went, but making that decision based on that conversation seems a little bit vindictive. But, you know, I think that's probably just my take on it. It's also a bit of a head scratcher, right? Because Tesla recently signed almost every other major automaker to their standard. And I realize that this is now a standard and that they don't have to worry about building that standard anymore, but they still are responsible for maintaining the charging network. So it's a little puzzling from that point of view. But you're right. I mean, as soon as they did it, the calls that this is the end of Tesla, this is the end of Elon Musk, the shouts were loud almost out of the gate. So I don't really know where they go from here, but it seems obvious that they, at least someone there, realized that this was at least partially a mistake.
Yeah. Well, they say they're going to spend over $500 million expanding the supercharger network. This is according to tweets. I guess they're not tweets anymore, but X posts from Elon Musk, which apparently is a lot lower than they were going to spend, a lot less money than they were going to spend on the supercharger network. So we'll have to see what goes on there. I can see Musk going, well, why do I want to build out a supercharger network that will help other car companies expand the market? But that came well before. So more of this drama to come. Let's talk about the road of the year. This is from Hagerty. They're based in Traverse City, a place that's kind of dear to me. They have a driver's club, which announced the road of the year. They also do a lot of classic car insurance. And I've had my Corvette insured with them for a long time. They have announced the road of the year. Now, this isn't an all new road, as we named car of the year as all new cars, but this is a road that's been around for a long time. And it is California State Route 33. And it's a pretty darn cool road. I tell you, I've spent a lot of time on Route 33. A lot of twists and turns, a lot of elevation changes to it. Very often, you won't see another car for a long period of time, especially if you're driving it during a weekday, which I have done more than once. And I think it's a pretty darn good choice. What do you think about the whole idea of doing a road of the year, Chris?
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. You know, we and Hagerty, all of us talk about cars all the time. And, you know, the roads that we drive them on often are the kind of secondary subject, right? And this puts the highlight on the road, because if you don't have a good road, the car isn't as much fun on the road. And, you know, while I haven't driven this one, I've driven several near it, and I can tell you the area is beautiful. The roads are gorgeous. And any car would be fun to drive on a road that the picture I'm looking at right now. So good on them for highlighting, you know, the I'll say infrastructure, but road's a better way to put it.
Right. If you want to find California Route 33, a good place to start is Ojai in California, and then drive from there, and you can drive east. I think you can even drive west a bit from there, but certainly a fun drive. So very worthwhile, and congratulations on them for finding some white space, naming a road of the year, and we'll see what the road of the year is next year. Next year, yes. And when we come back, we will be road testing some pretty cool cars, including the Crosstrek Wilderness from Subaru, and I was driving the Mazda CX-30. And so stay with us for that, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road. Welcome back to America on the Road with Christine Jackney Redback with you for road test time, and we have some fun kind of little cars to talk about this time around. I'm not sure if they're exactly cars or exactly crossover utilities. We'll talk about that, I guess. One could say either one. But you were driving a Subaru vehicle that is very, very popular. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Subaru Crosstrek. It's all new for 2024. They're calling it a complete redesign. Although, like the Forester I reviewed last week, it does look a little bit, quite a bit like the one before it. And I'm going to call it a crossover, even though it is based on the Impreza and shares some of its underpinnings. It is called a Crosstrek, so we can just stick with that for now to keep things simple. The base configuration of this car costs a little bit over $26,500. My test car as priced was around $34,000. So you've got about five trims to choose from, with three in the middle there. I think the Wilderness is the most expensive. It's also the most capable, but we'll get into that in just a minute. There is a 2.0 liter engine in this car as standard. My car had a 2.5 liter four cylinder, 180 horsepower. It still takes more than 8 seconds to reach 60 miles an hour, so not a quick car by any means. Subaru's venerable, I'll call it, continuously variable CVT transmission. All-wheel drive is standard, and you get 9.3 inches of ground clearance. Jack, I'm not sure, have you driven the Wilderness, or when was the last time you drove a Crosstrek?
I don't think I've driven the Wilderness version of the Crosstrek. I've driven many Crosstreks through the years. I'm not even sure that I've driven this particular iteration of it, this particular generation, if this is indeed a generation change. So what you're saying is new to me.
Yeah, I mean, it is still pretty similar to the last one, as I said. So no matter which engine you go with, I've driven the 2.0 liter base model, and I've driven now this 2.5 liter model. You get the same CVT and all-wheel drive no matter which vehicle you choose. This car, true to Subaru form, is a little bit rough around the edges from a powertrain standpoint. It's a little bit louder, a little bit coarse. But I think if you're buying the Wilderness and you want kind of that beefy look, you're not going to really care about the sort of buzzy nature of it. As I mentioned, it's not quick. You get 8 seconds, a little bit more than 8 seconds to 60 miles an hour. Around town, what that means, Jack, at least for me, is that I found myself having to put my foot down harder than expected in most situations. That's not to say that the car won't go when and where you want it to. It's just it takes a little bit more effort than you expect. That ground clearance and the all-terrain tires that it comes with don't ruin the ride, however. This car is very comfortable, soaks up almost everything that main roads, I mention this almost every time, our bumpy roads have to offer. And road and wind noise are not that bad. Most of what you hear on the road is the engine as you're accelerating. Inside Subaru with this model, cloth comes standard with most, but this comes with what Subaru calls StarTex upholstery, which is kind of a mix between a vinyl and a synthetic leather. It doesn't feel as cheap as a vinyl and not quite as nice as real leather, but it fits the sort of off-roady personality this car has. You can get it dirty. They wipe right off. It's great for kids and pets and everything, which is right up Subaru fans' alley. So I put a cover in the back seat, and my dog jumped in and was perfectly happy, and I could wipe his hair out right after, and nobody was worse for the wear. So good on Subaru for actually giving this car an interior that matches its personality. As I talked about last week with the new Forester, this car, at least with the Wilderness trim, you get an 11.6-inch touchscreen, and everything is centered in the touchscreen. All of your climate controls, your automatic start-stop, the radio, navigation, Apple CarPlay. And the challenge with that is, A, that you're searching around for a non-physical button while you're driving, so you have to look and then aim your finger exactly at where you want to press. And the second thing is, the system isn't quite as quick or as responsive as it should be to have so many functions happening. You know, like when you boot up your laptop, you have to wait for your email app to start and log in and all these things. That's kind of how it feels when you're waiting to change a climate control or turn down the radio volume or whatever it might be while when you start the car. And if you have kids like me and you listen to your music the day before and then you get them in the car and you have got, you know, rock and roll blasting when they want to listen to Taylor Swift or whatever, it can just be a little bit of a hassle. But other than that, the system is, you know, has a lot of features. The screen is great. It's got a great resolution. It's easily visible. And you do have some physical controls for things like the heated seats and a few other things, the parking brake and all that. But most of it is in the screen. So I think with the next generation or next models, I hope Subaru adds a little bit more powerful processor here. You do get some optional safety equipment that with the Wilderness that the other ones don't come with. You get blind spot monitoring, rear cross traffic alerts. The car does not have, at least as mine was equipped, parking sensors, but you do have automatic emergency braking, adaptive cruise control, and all of those features in Subaru's EyeSight safety technology. But for me, Jack, I think, you know, if I were going to buy a Crosstrek, I would probably aim for a more luxurious model like the Limited, just because if I were going to be living with it every day, I'd want those features. But there's plenty of room. It's a comfortable vehicle. Even the back seats are nicely supportive. And you get a decent amount of cargo space in the back, large enough for me to test it with my dog back there, though I generally try to keep him restrained in a seat most of the time. So pretty good value, pretty good interior. fix for the infotainment system, and I think that would be my only real complaint here. Otherwise, it lives exactly up to the ethos, the attitude that Subaru buyers expect.
It has an amazing amount of ground clearance, it strikes me. So it's an off-roader. It's interesting because it's kind of the opposite number of the vehicle I'm testing, the Mazda CX-30. It is the wilderness version of the Crosstrek, very off-road oriented. The CX-30, purportedly a crossover, but really totally on-road oriented. I mean, I don't even know the ground clearance because it's kind of not an issue. In fact, in a lot of ways, I look at this vehicle as almost a hot hatch as opposed to a crossover vehicle, which in a lot of ways I like because it's got a lot more horsepower and the fun-to-drive quotient is very, very high in the Mazda CX-30, especially in turbo version. But even in base version, this has more horsepower than the Crosstrek does. So you've got that going for you, too. I mean, this is a very sleek-looking vehicle. Again, pretty much on-road oriented. This doesn't have big off-road tires or an immense amount of ground clearance or any of that, because it's not meant for that. It's meant to be a versatile vehicle. I think they're kind of maybe even fudging to call this an SUV. I guess in the overall nomenclature of Mazda, it's an SUV. But I feel like it's more of a very fun-to-drive subcompact vehicle with a lot of versatility. Let's go into the power plant first. I mean, the base engine in the CX-30 is 191 horsepower, 2.5-liter four-cylinder. So that's pretty stout horsepower right there. Fairly torquey. Then you go to the 2.5-liter turbo, which was in the test vehicle I had, and you're looking at 227 horsepower on regular gas, 250 horsepower when you use premium. You're probably just as well to use regular gas, and 225 horsepower seems perfectly fine in this vehicle. You've driven CX-30s in various trims. Let's have your take before I go onward here.
Yeah, it feels very high quality. It looks great, as you mentioned. It's extremely fun to drive. It's funny that you call it a hot hatch because looking at the specs now between it and the Mazda 3 hatchback, they are strikingly similar in a number of ways, down to the cargo space where the CX-30 only has a tenth of a cubic foot more than the Mazda 3. But great all-around vehicle if you can live with the size in my world.
Yeah, I mean, it comes in 8 trim levels, and I won't even go through all of them, but it starts at about $27,000 with the destination fee, a little over $27,000. And it's got a ton of great stuff, even on the base model, which is the S trim, 16-inch alloy wheels. It has LED headlights. It has an 8.8-inch infotainment display with Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, the ability to get satellite radio. Just a ton of stuff and a lot of safety equipment as well, electronic safety equipment, forward collision warning with automatic braking. Pretty fully equipped at 27. If you go to the next version up, the select version, which is about $28,000, you get bigger wheels and you get leather upholstery. So for under $30,000, you can have a very, very nice, albeit kind of small, quote-unquote crossover utility, or hot hatch, depending on how you're looking at it. When we get to the test vehicle that I had, we're looking at quite a bit more money, $38,000 for the Premium Plus with the turbo. Of course, you get the much higher horsepower turbo engine. You get just a ton of additional stuff, a surround view camera, parking sensors, traffic jam assist, ton of other things. This is a blast to drive. I love cars like this, kind of nimble, super nimble. I keep calling it a car because I don't picture it as an SUV, but these kind of vehicles are a lot of fun to drive, aren't they, Chris?
They are, and you get the extra little bit of utility from the hatchback. You get a little bit more ground clearance over comparable hatchbacks. And, you know, as you mentioned, the interior is way nicer than it needs to be at this price point. And that's always been Mazda's signature. But I'm always staggered by the number of configurations that they're able to offer for pretty much all their vehicles.
Yeah, it really is amazing, too. I mean, fuel economy, fairly good. I wouldn't say through the roof, but with the turbo engine, which is a ton of horsepower, 22 in the city, 30 miles per gallon on the highway. Certainly, that's not an economy car kind of numbers. But this is a beautifully finished car. As you mentioned, quite a bit of luggage space, 28.2 cubic feet of luggage space behind the rear seats, 45 with the rear seat backs folded. That happens to be about the same amount of luggage space as in a Porsche Macan, that I was writing about this week, so that comes to mind. The version I had the larger 10.25 infotainment display that isn't a touchscreen except when you're using Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, which you're shaking your head, not great on radio, but absolutely, I 100% agree with the head shake there of why that is the case. But, you know, this is a vehicle that's a lot of fun to drive, just a lot of value, pretty versatile. But if you want total versatility, there are others in the category that offer more interior space. I think for the right person, this is an absolute winner. And others might find other of the subcompact utilities, perhaps the Crosstrek, for example, just more for their lifestyle, their style of living, which I guess is lifestyle, isn't it?
I agree, yes.
So that's what we have. Two vehicles I think that are worthy of consideration for probably different audiences, although they're about the same size and priced similarly. Well, when we come back, we will have a terrific guest. His name is Trevor Lai. He is the Genesis Product Planning Chief, and we'll be talking with him about the heavily revised 2025 Genesis GV80, their largest SUV. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us. I got this letter from a reader the other day, and I thought I'd share it with you. I'm on vacation on the beach in Key Biscayne and just finished reading Dance in the Dark. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Great plot and twists I never saw coming. You're really good at creating visual images. Congrats, you made my vacation all that more enjoyable. This is just the kind of feedback an author loves to hear. I'm Jack Nerad, host of America on the Road and the author of Dance in the Dark, a crime novel inspired by true crime. Many have told me that Dance in the Dark has all the realism of Fatal Photographs, my true crime account of the famous bathing suit model murder case. That's great to hear because Dance in the Dark is filled with suspense, plot twists, and surprises, but at the same time, it's a believable story in the tradition of writers like James M. Cain, Jim Thompson, and Elroy Leonard. I'm not saying it did happen, but it could have. Dance in the Dark is available in paperback and Kindle ebook form from Amazon.com, and it's available direct from the publisher emlancey.com as well. If you have a chance, please look for it. If it makes your vacation better, we'll both be happy. That's Dance in the Dark by Jack R. Nerad at Amazon.com or emlancey.com. Thanks for giving it a look. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nerad with you. We are outside Fort Worth, Texas, on the Rio Brazos. I can see it out the window there. A little windy on the Rio Brazos right now. Terrific guest with me, Trevor Lai, is Senior Manager of Product Planning at the Genesis brand.
Indeed.
And thanks so much for being with us. You've been on the show before in your Hyundai days.
But yes, it's been a hot minute, but it was last time we met, we were doing the Tucson event. In Tucson,
oddly.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Now here I am on the Genesis side.
On the Genesis side, and talking about the 2025 GV80, mm-hmm. probably the most important, you can tell me, but my sense is this is the most important vehicle in the Genesis lineup. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, from a broad stroke.
Of course. You know, our GV80 has been very popular for us here at Genesis. In fact, the last month, if I recall correctly, it actually outsold the GV70, in fact. And it's one of those vehicles that's very versatile, right? Available in two-row or three-row. But what we're doing now for 2025 is why we're here. It's why you're here. We're elevating that experience, right? We have an update to the GV80. We have new fascias, front and rear, new wheel designs, new headlamp designs. The biggest difference is going to be in the interior. The screen is much more expansive in its size, about 27 inches or so in diagonal measure. OLED screen. A lot of other updates as well, improved usability, heated armrest. We have the mood curator that was popular with our G90, so we're starting to democratize that a little bit more into our GV80 as well.
This is great. You've done a 15-minute interview in about 30 seconds.
And, all right.
We could just kind of kick back. No, it's terrific stuff. And talk to me a little bit about how important this vehicle is to the Genesis brand, because kind of flagship, I think, right, or certainly one of the flagships. The luxury market has become an SUV market, essentially. Mm-hmm. They're much more popular than sedans in that market. Walk us through that a little bit.
You know, for us here at Genesis, I think you're right, Jack, right? We have in the U.S., right, the phenomenon where everything's moving to SUVs, not only in the non-lux side, but of course in the luxury makes as well. And that is, this is our best representation of that. We, of course, have the GV70 that I mentioned earlier. We also have a GV60 as well. But what we're here to talk about is a GV80, and that is our largest SUV in the lineup, and it's doing really well for us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you talked about one of the, well, you talked about a lot of things that are new with this vehicle, but maybe the thing that jumps out at you the most is the giant infotainment screen, the giant screen across the dashboard there.
Yes.
With a completely new design. Walk us through that interior and that whole thing.
Yeah, so what we wanted to do was, you know, with the proliferation of technology in everyone's lives, we realized that simply just adding a large screen wasn't going to be enough, right? Anyone can do a large screen, and in fact, others have done that. What we want to do is to make the user experience a lot better, improve that experience. I know I'm always using the word elevate, 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 but that's exactly what we're trying to do, right? We want to have an interface that's very easy to use. You can have as much information on there as you want, or if you don't, you can have as little information on there as you want for a very clean, understated approach. That's something that that we do very well, right? And so what the screen does, I know it's if you haven't seen the vehicle, it's going to be hard to describe, but once you see it, it's going to make a lot of sense. It's one contiguous screen that goes from the left-hand side all the way to the middle, all the way to the right-hand side. So it's one solid panel that's just all graphics and display.
Customizable, important.
It is.
How many users do you think do customize their screen? I mean, certainly you have a default setting, right? And probably a lot of people just go with that. But customizable has got to be important for some people because you offer it.
It does. And what we've done is we've created basically, I think it's about two or three different shortcuts to very popularly used screens. But otherwise, if you want to further customize, you can add or delete widgets as you see fit to whatever taste that you like.
Mm-hmm. How do you avoid just overpowering people with what they see on the screen? Because now there's so much you could present, right?
There is a lot. And, you know, you do see that with some other applications and, you know, some of the competition. What we want to do is if you don't want everything on there, we don't show it if you don't want to. But if you want to, you can select those items and show it. But we also have this one other feature that helps calm you down. If you have too much technology in your life, we have this mood curator function. I can tell you about it if you want me to.
Think you probably should, because I think our listeners would like to hear about it. And I certainly would. I want my mood curated.
Right?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Curated experience is something that's going to be very important, especially for our luxury customers, right? And what better way to do that than to touch more of our human senses, right? Of our five senses that we've got. And as I said earlier in my presentation, you're not necessarily going to lick the car, so we can count that one out.
But it's good enough to lick it. It's a really good
you
looking
could
car.
Lick it.
Yeah.
It's. I wouldn't recommend it, but you could. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we're looking at our four other senses, right? So we have four different moods to go along with these four different senses. If, say, for instance, you've had a long day at work, you're super stressed, you can hit the calm button. What the calm button will do is it'll automatically turn on the massaging seats. It will turn on more soothing colors with the ambient lighting system. It'll start playing music that will tend to calm you down, for example. And the last
item... Is it pre-selected music? Is it?
Yeah, they have pre-selected tracks, but you also have the opportunity to turn them on or off if you want to overlay your own nice music.
Calm music, yeah.
Whatever that definition of calm music is to you, you can turn that function on or off and pipe in your own music if you'd like. But what's great is that we're tying in this scent module here as well. The GV80 has the ability to take two scent pods. We do have three available. They are included with every GV80 that has this mood curator function, right? And it will blend the two AirPods into a very soothing aromatherapy laden.
And what kind of scents? I mean, mom's apple pie, Christmas tree. I mean, what do you offer them?
If I recall correctly, they're basically like earthy scents and smells that really bring you back to nature and help ground you. So,
yeah.
Derivatives of that and some, I think...
Let's say you need to get excited, though. You got a big meeting coming up. Mm-hmm. You want to uplift yourself. Maybe you're kind of dragged out of bed.
Yeah, and there's an energized mode for that one as well. And for that one, you're able to choose that particular scene, brighter lights. Maybe it's in the... You're getting up in the morning and you've not had enough caffeine. You can't quite wake up. This is something that you might want to play, right? Fun graphics, redder lights, for example, more intense and different types of scents that that the system can blend as well, since we're working with two different pods there.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned massaging seats, and I think we both noticed on the drive here that at a particular time, the vehicle decided our backs needed to be massaged and started to do that. Walk us through that whole, and what triggers that?
So we have a feature that we have turned on in our demonstration vehicles here today. It's basically an anti-fatigue seat, right? So if it's noticing that you are been in a certain position for an extended amount of time to improve circulation, that automatically will turn on for you, assuming, of course, the option is pre-selected to automatically do that. But it'll basically pulse the different air cells in the seat to help promote blood movement and prevent you from, not prevent, but reduce the likelihood of you getting numb.
Yeah. Which is good when you're driving to not to be fatigued. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely true. Comfort seems to be critically important to this vehicle. You know, when we're driving it, super smooth, very quiet. Walk us through all that, that gives us the quiet and great noise, vibration, harshness, elimination.
Yeah, so with the update for the 2025 model year, what we're doing is, focusing our attention even more on a more serene, more isolated experience for our occupants. Doesn't matter if you're the driver or passenger in the second, third row, whatever. What we're doing is applying thicker double laminated acoustic glass in the first row, second row, windscreen. Another common area where you would have sound intrusion really has to do with the area between your C and D pillars, right? Normally what you consider the cargo area of an SUV. And in that area there, between the trim panels and the inside of the exterior skin of the vehicle, we've applied more NVH reducing material, basically noise attenuating mats and materials to help further that experience even more. The floor of the cargo area, additional measures there, and I think from what I understand, some of the seals around the tailgate area have been updated also to further that as well.
Keep the wind out of there.
Absolutely.
Making no whistling and that kind of stuff. You emphasize the fact that you're critically concerned with comfort in all five seating positions as opposed to just the front two seats, which we see a lot. You know, the emphasis is on the front two seats and the back seat is kind of eh. But you're not doing that. So walk us through the philosophy there.
So when we take a look at this segment, we're finding out that a lot of folks are buying this with kids, right? And these are kids ranging anywhere from, 5 to 15. So they're cheap growing years. This will be the family vehicle, obviously a bit more affluent of a buyer. But if you want to have a family experience, you want to enjoy that experience. And so what we're doing here is providing those comforts at the second row as well, be it the kids that I mentioned that are going to be riding back there, or perhaps the babysitter is now watching the kids, or the older kids can watch the younger kids at home. And it's another couple that they're taking out, right? They want to take two cars. Maybe their best friends are their neighbors now. And so you can hop in the back seat. Grown-ups can hop in the back seat. They have power adjustable second row seats. They have their own temperature controls they can adjust, heated ventilated seats in the back as well. You have a sunshade that's powered for the side windows for that second row passenger. They even have vanity mirrors back there. I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at the back seat.
I did,
illuminated vanity mirrors if you want to touch up your face before you go into the restaurant.
I have a nose that needs a lot of touching up. I don't know that there's enough time to get that
done. That's why we have two mirrors for you.
Yeah, there you go. Two mirrors, no waiting. I like that.
There you have it.
Did you eliminate the third row? The previous edition, I think GV80 had a third row.
We still do have a third row. You'll be able to find that in our 3.5T advanced trim.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Okay. So that one's still there.
Good. Good, good, good.
It's been very popular for us. Right.
Yep. Walk us through powertrains or model along with powertrain.
Yeah, so I mentioned 3.5T there earlier. Our base powertrain is going to be our four-cylinder turbocharged 2.5-liter direct injection four-cylinder engine that's going to put out 300 horsepower, a little over 300 pound-feet of torque. And then we'll also have our optional V6 engine. That one's a twin turbo, so you have a turbocharger for each bank of that V. That's going to put out about 375 horsepower. And almost 400 pound-feet of torque, so a lot of pull in that motor, and that's sent through a standard all-wheel drive system, regardless of which.
Yeah, all-wheel drive is standard across the board.
Yep.
Yeah. What was the philosophy there? This is a kind of a rear drive oriented platform, right?
It is a rear drive oriented platform. It's what we call a north south platform or longitudinal layout for the chassis. And what we wanted to do, again, we wanted to elevate that experience. Having a rear drive platform really does help communicate that quite a bit. At the same time, we realized, you know, a lot of our buyers, particularly in the more inclement weather states, they wanted to have that sure-footed ability. So what we're doing now is running all-wheel drive completely standard with our GV80.
And you're kind of in the middle, I think, between two types of luxury vehicles in that broader segment, right? I mean, the Germans, rear drive-oriented chassis, and then you have essentially, I guess, the Japanese, Lexus and Acura. I guess Infiniti's in there somewhere.
Lexus and Acura, yeah.
Yeah. Have more of a front drive-oriented platform. Walk us through the thinking, because you're kind of splitting the difference there, aren't you?
Exactly. You know, positioning-wise, I think we hit on all cylinders, if you pardon the pun, right? We drive a lot more similarly to Mercedes and BMW, as you mentioned, being a longitudinal layout. More isolation. If you look at the front suspension, we're not using struts. We're using a multi-link front, multi-link rear. Drive dynamics are very important for us, right? A lot of the volume right now is transacting with the Japanese, as you mentioned, Acura and Lexus. We call it J2 internally for the two top Japanese competitors.
Right.
And you know that's a formula that's been working for them. So what we've done is we've created a new base trim for 2025, hopefully to gather more attention to our GV80, hopefully capture some of those customers. Yeah. Otherwise, my go-to, the J2.
And when we come back, we'll have more with Genesis Product Planning Chief Trevor Lai. So stay with us. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to America on the Road with co-host Chris Teague. This is Jackie Redd back with you. We're so glad you're with us. We do appreciate it. And let's continue our interview with Trevor Lai on the 2025 Genesis GV80 Luxury Crossover.
One of the things I want to talk about before I let you go is exterior styling changes, which are subtle but really good, I think. I mean, walk us through what you've done.
Yeah, I think the thing that stands out to me the most probably, and I think for most of your viewers as well, is going to be that front grille, right? We went from a single bar grille to a double line grille. And it seems like it's a very small change, but the difference here really is, you know, we're finding out that, you know, we've had this two-line styling philosophy for some years now, and people are really identifying that with Genesis. Before, it was like, well, what is that, Jack? I'm not quite sure what that is. As you see more and more of a double line, oh, double line means Genesis, double line means Genesis. So we decided to capitalize upon that. Like, okay, well, let's have that as furthering our design theme. So that's why we see the double bars through the grille. And you'll see that in the rear of the vehicle as well, with some, right, especially the lower fascia with a couple of the parallel lines down low with the chrome molding.
Yeah,
and the lower fascia.
A little styling emphasis on the side fender and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
also
even extends to the wheel. You'll see the double lines in the new wheel designs we have for GV80 as well. So it's like you said, it's subtle. We do have a couple of new colors as well, but again, it's to propel us forward and elevating the experience.
Yeah. When will the GV80 come to market, the new 2025?
The GV80 is actually, the 2025 GV80 is actually hitting dealerships this week.
Ah.
Yes.
So soon. Rush to your Genesis
close,
dealer.
Yeah, some close to the ports may actually already have them. So, yeah.
Ah, very, very cool. Mm-hmm. And give us some sense of pricing.
Pricing, our new base trim is going to be starting around the mid-$57,000 range. And it'll run to, if I remember correctly, high 70K range. But we'll have a lot more detail for you at genesis.com.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll have some more detail on future shows, too.
Indeed, we shall.
So, Trevor Lai, thanks so much for being with us. We do appreciate it. It's great to catch up with you, too. Glad to see you.
Likewise.
Doing well.
Thanks so much, Jack. Appreciate it.
Yep.
And that was our interview with Trevor Lai of Genesis on the heavily revised GV80 luxury SUV. Nice vehicle that should have a lot of the more established luxury brands maybe looking over their shoulders, I think, Chris. What do you think about that?
Yeah, they've got great, I mean, compelling styling, great tech, a lot of safety equipment, and the pricing is right. So, they've made a lot of moves.
I think we have a little time here, so let's take a listener question. Of course, we'd love to hear from you. So if you have a question or just a comment, you want to talk to us in one way or another, send it to editor@drivingtoday.com. That's editor@drivingtoday.com. We'll try to answer your question on an upcoming show. Here's a question that came in recently. This is from Will in Mesa, Arizona. He says this, I'm looking for a sporty, fun-to-drive car that doesn't cost a lot of money. Do you have any suggestions for me? I bet you do, Chris.
I do. You know, we just talked about Mazda. I think the Mazda 3 is a very fun car to drive, especially if you get the turbo model. You don't have to spend a ton of money on that. I think if you want to go a little bit more expensive, you could go Honda Civic. You know, some of the Civic configurations, not necessarily the Type R, but the SI and others offer a lot of fun. And then there are the hot hatches. You know, we could talk about those too, although they do cost a little more. The Toyota GR Corolla, the Volkswagen Golf GTI. I think the world is sort of your oyster, kind of, although not as much as it was 10, 15 years ago. But there are a lot of directions you could go. Even the new Camry, the Camry is a lot of fun to drive, despite being, you know, all hybrid now, some of the TRD models from a couple years ago. So I think you do have quite a few choices, Jack. What do you think?
Yeah, there's some N versions of the various Hyundai models that are pretty cool, too. And look for those. I mean, a lot of performance at a fairly low price. So look for that kind of stuff. I think there's a lot of good choices out there still. We talk about SUVs and trucks a lot on this show, but there's something a lot of fun about getting in a fun-to-drive car that's nimble, and so you can get that for not a ton of money. And these days, maybe they're the best bargains of all on the marketplace. So, well, before we go, I'd like to mention my newest book, Dance in the Dark, which is a crime thriller inspired by true crime. It's available at Amazon in both paperback and ebook form, so look for that. If you like our show, please pass it along to someone you think might like it as well. Listen, of course, on this radio station each week. Let your friends know when you listen, where you listen, all of that. And of course, a podcast version of the show is available for easy pass along, isn't it, Chris?
It is. A quick Google search for America on the Road podcast will bring us up on all the major platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the others. Download us, like us, follow us, leave us a review. All those things help us out, and you can take us wherever you go.
Yeah. We'd love you to like us. You know, we love being liked, and we like being loved, for that matter. So we would appreciate that. Our thanks to our Sports Byline Network stations for carrying America on the Road. And most of all, thanks to you for listening to America on the Road. We know you have a lot of choices. The fact that you listen to America on the Road honors us. We feel very honored by that. So join us again right here for another edition of America on the Road next time. Inner peace, self-respect, emotional fulfillment. Are you finding these worthwhile goals difficult to achieve? Are you looking for success and satisfaction in your job but not finding it? Are you thinking about starting a business but don't know what will set it apart from all the others? You can continue to struggle on your own, or you can unleash the undeniable power of the GR Factor. I'm Jack R. Nered, host of America on the Road. For years, I've found success in business and in my personal life by using the concepts I outline clearly in my book, The GR Factor. Your best self is inside you right now, just waiting to be unleashed. Inspiring all that is the best in you, the GR Factor will guide your journey, elevate your game, recast your relationships, and transform your daily life. If you want to change your life for the better, read the GR Factor. It's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at emlancey.com. That's the GR Factor by Jack R. Nered. Thanks for checking it out.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.